down by the water.
Welcome back to season 2 of the Run Culture Podcast. My name is Dane Verway. I'm an experienced running physiotherapist, coach, and marathoner. This season will involve open discussions with my running colleagues about the key principles behind injury-free running and optimal performance. It'll be backed by personal experience, science, and history. I can only hope some of these chats inspire curiosity and expand or confirm perspectives and beliefs amongst the running community. Anyway, I hope you enjoy the episode. Welcome back to another episode of the Run Culture Podcast. I'm back again with the one and only Pete Dutton. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, it's good to be back for another podcast.
This is a bit of an impromptu catch-up. We just arranged it this morning, but we've got plenty to talk about, haven't we, Pete?
Yeah, it's been 4 months since I've done a podcast like this, so about time for a recap, I think.
A lot's happened. I've just come off Brizzy Marathon over the weekend. Pete, you've got a lot to report in terms of the races you've done and what you're aiming for. What should we start off with?
I reckon, the freshest race is your Brisbane Marathon on the weekend, so I guess we'll dive into that.
You're asking off air why I chose to do it. If I look back on it, why'd I choose Brisbane? At the start of the year, I wasn't that fit. Like, I felt a bit unfit. So I felt like I don't really feel like I can chase a PB, and that's what motivates me a lot with running, chasing PBs and trying to get better. So I wanted to pick a race where I felt like I had a chance to win it. And over the weekend I didn't win it, but it was certainly a challenge and good motivator. It's certainly got me fit. It made me run a 31-minute 10K in the lead up to it. Win a couple of half marathons as well. It certainly was a good goal because it kind of achieved what I wanted it to get me going again. And everything in my life seems to go well when my running's going well and I've got a good goal. So yeah, it was just to try to race it on the weekend, and it was a tough race. It was very humid. And in the end, Jonathan Peters and Dion Finocchiario were too good. I really enjoyed it, and it got me visiting Brisbane and having a look around Brisbane, and that's a city that I haven't really explored enough of, and I really liked it. So it was a short and fast trip, but really enjoyable.
Yeah, were you ever considering Gold Coast in the sense of the toss-up of do you try and go and win a race or get an extra 3 weeks of training and then attack something quicker? Was that ever... Or was it solely locked in, I want to do Brisbane?
Yeah, I think that was part of why I thought Brisbane, because I was like, oh, maybe like a lot of the big hitters will go to Gold Coast, and this is a month before it. So I thought it would thin the field a little bit. I did, to be honest, get fitter than I thought I would in the time that I trained for it. So I was actually starting to get pretty excited that I'd run a quick time. Over the weekend, after about 12K, I sort of knew that the conditions were a bit against me time-wise. I ended up running 2:30, which I wanted quicker. I thought I was in a bit quicker shape than that, a few minutes quicker. And the conditions probably were, I would have thought, I was chatting to Dion after, who's tough as nails, and he struggled. I think it was just the humidity. He probably thought there was about three minutes in the course. So that definitely, when I look back on it, I was like, oh, I wish I just ran a fast course, because I felt like I got fitter than I actually thought I'd get to in the time. But that's the thing. You can only, and since the race, a few wise heads in my corner have said you can only race the conditions. And I think that's a really good learning experience from it. Like, I like get so hung up on times, and so do a lot of runners. And, you know, you
ultimately I was doing the race to race it, but then I thought the time would take care of itself because of that. And but then it was slower than I wanted. I think the advice that a lot of people give me since the race, saying you can only race the conditions, is a really good learning experience. There's some marathons that are hillier, they're more humid. Being, you know, from Victoria, me and Dion, we really struggled, we felt. And Jono Peters, just a local, just looked like he looked like he was cruising. I think it certainly got to us. And I think that's the beauty about doing different marathons, is there's always a different challenge. So I think it's a good experience that I can pass on to you, Pete, with Gold Coast Half coming up. You know, you might pin your hopes on breaking 70 minutes, because I know that's what you and Bevan would really love to do. But if the conditions aren't right, you can only run as well as you can. So, I guess it's a learning experience.
Yeah, exactly. And I think too often we just pick easier courses or favourable courses where we know we can run fast. But I think it's something to a testament of just going to a course where you know the conditions are tough and you just got to tough it out. And I think you get more from that a lot of the time.
Yeah, a few people did Great Ocean Road Marathon a few weeks ago, and apparently it was, ridiculous headwinds the whole way, like 40 plus Ks an hour winds. I guess it makes it a whole different challenge, and it changes the whole race situation, and the times were a lot slower for everyone than they thought. That's part of it. I think we should embrace that and not get so fixated on times, which is something that I've certainly struggled with even just recently, just since this race. I was like, oh, it is what it is. And I think, cause it's hard to on paper, it's a marathon. It says 2:30 next to your name. But then there's no brackets like, oh, it was hilly and humid. So it's hard to wrap your head around it. But I certainly felt like I emptied the tank, like, and gave it everything, and I couldn't have done more. So you get a little bit hard on yourself when you thought you were in better nick, and the time doesn't really suggest it. But you've got to keep prefacing it with like how it actually felt out there, and how drained you feel like at certain moments during the race. And it certainly felt like an effort that was a bit faster than what it said on the scoreboard.
And it just means that next time the conditions might be perfect, and then it's like, well, this is nowhere near as hard as Brisbane. So it gives you that confidence boost of like, all right, I've toughed out harder courses and conditions than this. So yep, it's easy right now.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other thing is like, what I could take from it, because I was ultimately just trying to race it, is like, well, yeah, still did get third place. So still hung on, could have easily capitulated late. You're right. It's like, well, you're generally better for those efforts. So when the conditions are a bit more favourable, you've been through some ugly marathons and in some ugly patches where you've really doubted yourself. So you're better for the result. So, it was good, Pete. Like, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the experience. I'm glad I did it. And now I'm sort of, recover from this and work out what I'm going to do next, because I feel like I do need to have some kind of goal. Because we've got number two baby on the way in September the 24th. So I feel like it'd be good to have a little goal before then, because then life might be a bit chaotic for the back end of the year.
Yeah, that's exciting. Do you have any goals in mind?
I've had a brief look at it like over the last day or two, but I was really just concentrating completely on Brisbane. I think I might do maybe Burnley half and try to break 70 again, and try to, you know, feel like I can do that still at 37. That's probably like the one thing that stands out. I mean, otherwise I haven't had a good think of it. I really need to just go back to the drawing board and see what like sparks that sort of passion. I think it's got to be a goal that really like motivates you. You can't just say something for the sake of something, you kind of know when you've got the right goal, like it just fuels you, you think about it a lot, like it makes you want to get out the door. So I still need to just make sure that, yeah, I've got to think about it more so that I find the right goal. But yeah, enough about me. I think that's plenty. I want to shift the chat to you, Pete, and we've just mentioned it before. You've got Gold Coast Half coming up. It's a month away. We'll go back, like, because our last chat, you were just finishing the track season, and you were aiming for a 3,000 meter to finish the track season. So trying to get a PB there, and then we'll also in the cross country season go back to Albert Park 10K, where you did another amazing run, and your form just seems to be going from strength to strength still, which is amazing, and it's so good to see, like you and Bevan really working well together. Yeah, where do you want to start? Do you want to go back to the 3K?
I think that's a good place to start.
So tell us about that race and what you're aiming for and how it went.
Yeah, so the last time we spoke, we come off the 5K where I broke 15 for the first time. And then it was this period where we were going into the 3K. I was just trying to stay focused as possible, knowing that it'd be the last race of the track season. And honestly, the time I ran is pretty much what I thought I could run. The aim was 8:45, and I knew the race was going to be set up for 8:40, and I thought, let's just... I had Bevan in the race, so it was kind of the first... I mean, we've spoke about it on previous podcasts. It's like, when I was injured, we kind of dreamt of this like moment where me and Bevan could race against each other at our best, and... We kind of hyped it up and tried to get a bit more energy around our competitiveness in the race, and so yeah, it made for a lot more fun.
No, it was good fun. I was watching it with interest. You're both very different runners, but you're pretty similar level. You just go about it a different way. You've got different strengths. Like you're more a runner that makes it hard the whole way and never gives up, and whereas Bevan would like to sit for as long as he can and try to kick home. How did the race unfold between you two?
Yeah, and I was realistic. I knew, could we have Liam Adams, who did an amazing job pacing, and I thought the pace would be just a step too hot for me to be able to contest late. So I remember saying to Bevan, I'm like, you want to go at this pace, you can break 8:40. There's no doubt that you can break 8:40. You just got to... go for it. And I knew that I knew 8:45 would be more realistic, so I just try to hang on as long as possible. I think I fell off probably, I think it might have been a K to go or just before a K to go, and Bevan was able to hang on strong, and yeah, he ran 8:39 or 8:38 from memory, and I hung on for 8:46. So both massive PBs by the both of us.
So good. And you two have been doing so much training together. How good is it when you have someone that is pretty similar level to you, and you rock up 2-3 times a week and you train with someone like that? Like, so he's got strengths that you don't have, you've got strengths that he doesn't have, you complement each other. He's got a bit more speed, you've got a bit more strength. So there's some sessions that suit you, there's some sessions that suit him. But you're very level. Like, how good is that when you have someone like that?
Yeah, it's amazing. And I first noticed the shift in Bevan coming back from Bathurst. And that's where pretty much it all started, back in February.
What happened on that trip? Because I noticed too, like, he seemed to go, oh, I can do a bit more. I can train a bit harder if I want to be better.
Well, I think just the whole aura of just, like, the world cross country and everything. He come back with this new found energy. It's like, I think I should start giving this sport more of a go, and it's like, there's so much more I can be doing. I want to get better, and I think I can have a serious go at this sport. And that was refreshing, because before that he was invested, but there was also, it was like, he's a 20-year-old kid. He wants to have fun. There's no light bulb moment like I'm 26, and it's like, all right, I'm serious about this sport. I'm trying to give it a real go. And he kind of had that same revelation.
Yeah. Now it's been great to see you two work together. While there's a fair few injuries in the squad, Like, there's been a few sessions where it's just been you, Bevan, me, and Archie. Because we've, yeah, it's just the nature of running, isn't it? We've had Charlie out with a tibial stress reaction, Justin out with a fibula stress reaction, Jess out with an Achilles, sore Achilles. Liam's had long COVID, and Damo's had a bit of a sore foot on and off over several months now. But they're all, like, the bulk of them are on the way back and coming back. But there's been a few lonely sessions in the group. But I think it's important to note that it's not all PBs in the OUR squad. Like, even though, like, you know, you report on them, like, there's definitely times where you're out, you're not feeling that good, or you're injured, and we're just trying to manage the troops.
Yeah, and I mean, that's just how the sport goes. I mean, it was like those guys that were injured now and like going through their battles, it's like last year and the year before it was me, or Bevan was sick, or it's like, it's just this whole trying to keep everyone healthy and on the park at the same time. And it's, yeah, injuries are always going to be a part of it. And we just got to rally as a team, and we pick those guys up like they did us when we were down.
Yep. You just reflect on their training, you reflect on their lifestyle. Like, it's always a complex sort of equation where there's so many moving parts, and it's hard to like stay on top of it because you just never know if you're overdoing things or underdoing things. So just keep trying to learn from your injuries, and that's what the guys are doing. I want to move on to Albert Park 10K. One of your best runs you've ever done so far in your young career, and one of the best runs Bevan's ever done in his young career. Talk us through the lead up to that and how the race went and unfolded.
Yeah, so one of my goals for coming off the track season was really just to bring the same intensity that I brought to the track onto the roads. And we were trying to work out a goal that you asked me at the end of the season what motivated me, and I couldn't really come up with an answer. I was trying to, there was so much energy around the track season, and it was like going into another winter, trying to find something. But we landed on Albert Park, and I thought, for my progression for the next 5 years, I've got to try and get my 10K and half time down. So Albert Park was a perfect spot to have a real crack at a fast 10K.
Nice. And what was your PB going into Albert Park?
So I'd run 32:20 at Gold Coast 10K last year. So last July.
Yeah.
So it'd been a while since we really had a real crack at one. But.
And what did you tell the guys that you're aiming for?
Because I'd broken 15, I said I wouldn't settle for anything less than 31:35 or 31:30, around that ballpark. And I just had to go in with the confidence that I could run it. And,
yep,
we managed to do it.
Yeah, there's some great calculators online, isn't there, where you can sort of punch, once you've sort of worked out your 5K, you can punch them in, and it sort of gives you some estimates on what you probably could do based on countless other athletes that have done similar times over the 10 or the half marathon. So that's what we've sort of been basing a lot of like your goals on. Now that you can, you know, run so fast for a 5K, okay, does that mean you should shift your training paces and your ambition and your goals for these longer distances? And so, yeah, you set out 31.5 as your goal for Albert Park. What did you run?
I ran 31:37.
Yeah, so right on the money. Tell us about that race and you know, this is a race that probably suited you a bit more than the 3K against Bevan. How'd you find it, and did you think you had Bevan on the ropes at any point?
No, that's the thing. I never feel like I have Bevan on the ropes because he's always right there. Yeah. Our PBs are pretty much within seconds of each other. He's got that fire in him that he's started to develop over the last 4 months, and he's a competitor. He doesn't like to lose, so it was always going to be tough, but. Yeah, we had a massive pack for, I think, probably through halfway. It kind of split off a bit after that. But, yeah, we had the confidence, and we had a plan. Me and Bevan were going to work together and just sit in the pack for as long as possible and then try and make a move late. and not be scared of the pace either.
Yeah, but at the same, yeah, you were very good. Like you were locked on to the right kind of pace at 3:10s from the get go, really, and you found the pack that was doing that. Whereas the year before, I remember you went out a bit quick, got excited, hit a 3:03 or something first K. So you showed a lot of maturity there, just to make sure that you found the right pack to sit in with and run with from the start. And geez, the depth in Victorian distance running is amazing at the moment. Like, because that amazing time that you did would have placed you what, 40 something?
I think yeah. I was 50th.
50th, yeah.
which is crazy.
Yeah.
And so you get a minute quicker. I think years before, I think my best finish was like 60th maybe, and running a minute slower. So you run a minute quicker and you're not really picking up paces because everyone's just taking their run into a new level, and it's exciting to see for Australian distance running.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? I think it starts at the top. You're seeing everyone's inspired by like the Stewie McSwains, the Ollie Hawes and all those kind of guys, and then it just sifts down through the ranks and the depths. And post COVID, I think a lot of people are still running. You know, they've changed sports, but then they've sort of gone, oh no, I like running, or they've changed from gym to running, or football to running, or netball to running. And yeah, there's definitely been a little bit of an upsurge in terms of popularity in running, that's for sure. In that 10K, there was five Frankston athletes within 12 seconds. I was hunting you down. I yelled out to you with 200 to go, and you were too strong. And then we had Matt Mattress as well, and your brother John ahead of us all. Between 31, 33 and 31, 45. So that was an amazing day for Frankston as well. Like to have five guys running 31 mid. We've never done that before.
Yeah, it's like the American kind of college cross country you see, where there's just, they talk about pack running so much, and it's like our lead pack, we had four out of the five of us in there just working together for majority of the race, which was good to have.
Even the finish of that, like not just us, but like we said, the depth, like there was 20 or so people still in that pack, like with over the last 500 meters, and it was just a blanket finish. Like there was literally a person every second through that range. And so yeah, I could imagine it's like one of those Japanese half marathons where you see hundreds of people breaking 64 minutes, or like the depth. It was so awesome. From there, mate, like you got anything else to say about that race?
No, and it just means you can't let off the gas in these events either, because it's like if you have a bad K, it's like you'll get passed by 10, 15 people, and you just, it makes you mentally just stay locked on and just keep fighting to the finish.
Mate, I've always said that I reckon you'd make a good coach long term. It's always hard to like coach yourself, because like we get emotionally invested, but when it comes to like telling someone else to do what to do, it's easier because you're sort of, there's that distance. Whenever I like on a Sunday plan out the training for the week, I spend like, you know, a good 3 hours Sunday night just going through all 10 athletes training and planning it out and thinking about what's ahead. I'll send everyone their training individually, and then I ask what they think about it, just to make sure that I'm not just telling them what to do. It's an emergent process between the coach and the athlete. Often you look at the training and you're like, oh yeah, I was thinking that, or like that's exactly what I thought. I'd love to just hear, and I think a lot of other like listeners would love to hear, like how do you actually decide what training to do?
Before you even put the training out, I don't mention it, but I've kind of thought a rough idea of the month leading into a race, what it should look like, or what I would normally do.
Yeah.
And then when you put the sessions in, it's like, oh, okay, that's pretty much what I was thinking. It might be in a different order or different week to week, but the overall kind of scheme, it's like, oh, all right, I was thinking that. So I'm already invested in what's going
to
happen.
And so like, how do you actually come to those realizations or ideas or training structure? Like what actually makes you decide what sessions to do and where and when? And
well, it's generally what the end goal is. So for me, I'm doing the half at Gold Coast, so I kind of work backwards of like, all right, the last 4 weeks I want to be doing these type of half marathon sessions. And it's also about what you've done before. So because we come off the 10K and you know you have a half, it's kind of, you just fill in the gaps, and if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, like I think that's the principle of specificity. I think really like you're looking at, okay, you're doing a half marathon, what are some things that you need for a half marathon? You know, it's going to take you, you know, hopefully just under 70 minutes. So it's quite a long run. It's 21 Ks. What are some strengths that, or some things that you need to really work on? What are some weaknesses in your training so far, if you that you feel like you're a bit underprepared? I guess it's a principle that's really important to know, but then it's also a principle where people get lost in. Like, I think some people go too close to the fire with the idea of specificity, and they do too much too soon, and they haven't sort of thought of where they currently are and the idea of sustainability. So that's probably another principle that you need to sift through your specificity, and you need to filter your specificity with the idea of sustainability, because training's no good if you're injured the next week. So the idea of sustainability and making sure that you can still train in 2 days' time, and that you're not just going so hard that you're actually peaking 3 or 4 weeks before the race and you're actually toast and overtrained by the start line. So yeah, it's a bit of an art, isn't it? The idea of like specificity and sustainability, and trying to find that like Goldilocks zone.
Yeah, and a lot of it's like trial and error as well. It's like, yeah, you might do one thing in a lead up and it's like, all right, that cooked me and the race didn't go well.
Yeah.
So it's like, you just learn, you do it, you're going to make mistakes, and that's fine in training, but you're gonna learn from that, and you don't have to and you don't have to smash everything out of the park either. Yep. Like, you don't have to do like anything crazy, like 10 by like a mile or something, just because you've seen it. It's like, that works for that person. But
yes, it's exactly spot on. Like I think you know, once you finish your 10K, it's like, okay, your focus changes to the half marathon. The immediate thoughts would be like to go, oh, now I've got to do like, I don't know, 3x5K or something like that. Or like, you just have these like monster kind of sessions that you've seen other people do. But like, I think we already knew that you're in 31 and a half shape. I feel like you, like, and I said this to you and Bevan, like right after, the week after, I feel like you'll still run a good half in the current shape that you're in. I think you only need to tweak a few things. And then I want you to stay injury free and in the same kind of purple patch that you're in. So I really feel like it was this subtle balance of like, yeah, throwing 3 or so half marathon sessions that aren't the craziest things in the world, but just to get you a taste and also just to get into the right frame of mind and confident wise, like that you feel like you believe in yourself, that you can, that you've done a bit of work for it. But it's, yeah, that fine line, and you're right, like always going to make mistakes, and I think the idea of embracing making mistakes is important, because it's very seldom that you get it right first go. Like, it's often about your 4th, 5th, 6th, 10th half marathon attempt that you're like, oh, now, yeah, gee, I'm getting this down to a fine art for myself.
And a lot of the time it's just about throwing ideas out, like, yeah, like, what do you think of this session?
Yeah,
I think it was like 5 or 6x2K with a, yeah, quote in there, and you're like, yeah, that's all right, but
yeah,
if you're like, it'd be more tailored if you're leading from like a half to a marathon, so we could like tweak it, and
yeah,
that's when you're like, maybe do 4 and have static recovery, and
yeah, then it's,
you're still getting volume in, but you're not doing like 10-12K worth of volume.
Yeah, no, exactly, like that was where the beauty of talking to someone else who like I would have suggested, I suggest the same crazy ideas to Matt and my mate Matt, and he often goes, nah, do some, I know where you're thinking, do something similar, but just take this out or do a few less reps, because you're going to get the stimulus, but it's just going to mean that you're not getting yourself overtrained and going too close to the fire, like we've sort of been saying. So that's where it's good to have someone who's a bit distant to the and not emotionally, you know, attached to it all, because it's you can get it like a little bit attached to like some of the ideas. You're like, oh, imagine if I do this because I'll feel so good. And yeah, you might, but like, is that the best thing you could do to really make sure that you're peaking at the right time? I think the other thing that I wanted to go over, like in training, is why do we still do speed work? Like why do you still do, like if you're training for a half marathon, why is it still important to do like 400s, like you did 400s the other week in 65, 67, like why do you still do that kind of stuff? Like that's not being specific.
I mean, the speed work is pretty much, I feel like, the reason why I've gotten to the point this year.
Yeah.
So speed work just seems to unlock everything for me.
Yeah.
And my form for then doing the slower stuff is just so much better.
Yep. Yeah, I think it gives you an extra gear, it helps your movement, like it gives you that fifth gear that you otherwise wouldn't have. I feel like without it, you turn into a plodder, like, and you just feel like you're a shuffler. Like, and that's the same with, that's common for most runners. I think that's why it's so good to go, all right, I'm a runner. What are important things as a runner? Like, it doesn't matter what event you're training for, what are some important things to be a good runner? And I think you've got to think about all the systems and the parts that go into being a runner and train to be a good mover. So that's where I think it's still important to do like your drills, your hill reps, the 400 speed work, the 200s, and you just focus on good movement and covering the ground well. So I think that's often, and staying in touch with that, like never leaving that too long before until you do that again. And I think each week we've sort of made sure we've kept something like that in there.
Yeah, and it's and especially like to be able to close out races and be in there to win, you got to be able to shift gears.
Yep.
Doesn't matter if it's a 1500 or like a half. There's still moments where speed's going to come into it, and you don't want to lose that.
Yep. No, exactly. And then when you're like thinking towards an event, how many weeks ahead do you sort of think? And in terms of detail, how much detail do you go into every single week? Like if you're thinking about the next week, how much are you already thinking about the week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks ahead?
I used to think about it a lot more and used to like day to day plan like everything, but I think that just got a bit excessive.
Yep.
So I have this rough, like probably 4 weeks before, it's like, all right, I'd like to do these sessions, but things happen week to week and you got to modify it. So now I'm kind of at the point where it's like I have a rough plan, but things change and I kind of just go with it.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I do as well. Like it, I like the idea of the word emergent, and pretty much like it means that like you sort of plan for like the foreseeable future, like just this next week, because like everything makes sense, like depending on the past week. You're sort of like, well, okay, I'm a bit tired, so all right, we'll just take it super easy on Tuesday, and then we won't sort of like put anything in until later in the week. And you wouldn't have planned that 4 weeks ago. So the idea of like making things a bit more fluid and flexible in that plan for those distant weeks, so that like you're not just becoming a slave to the program. So you're listening and you're not forcing, but you've got like this basic schema of like, oh, okay, in 3 weeks that's going to be a medium week, in 4 weeks that's going to be a hard week, and then I'm going to taper. So you've got like this basic sort of title to each week, but that's all it is. It's like, and then it will come a bit clearer as you get closer to how the detail actually looks. So yeah, I think that's important for people to hear if they're struggling with their race planning, heading into certain races and they're doing their own programs, or they're doing someone else's program and they're a bit stuck. It's about like listening to the body, checking in, each week, and then it becomes a bit clearer on what's a sensible amount of stress to add to the system and what's too much. And always we're modifying things each week. And I've said it to a few people in the last week, when you stand on the start line in a half or particularly a marathon, 100% of the people standing on the start line will have modified their training to get to the start line, 100%. Like, they would not have followed exactly everything to the letter. And if they have, they're held together by 100 band-aids. They're in pain and they just sort of forced it. So if you've actually done a good prep, you've modified things. And it's just probably like normalizing the idea of modifying stuff, because I think a lot of runners become a bit attached to what it says on the schedule and think that's the truth and that's how they're going to get their PB.
Because, yeah, there's no point doing 100% of the training if you're only 85% on race day.
Yeah.
You'd rather do 85% be 100 on race day.
Oh, 100. Yeah, that's really well said. Yeah, good. So what's the goal for Gold Coast and how's the training been going?
Yeah, so I've convinced Bevan to come do the half as well. So we're both in a position where we're keen to chase 70.
Nice. And do you believe you can?
Yeah, I have the confidence and I back myself to go with the pace and get after it.
Yeah, I believe both of you can. I think the only thing would be potentially like you're just young in your half marathon career, and that back end strength. But naturally, you're shown that you just love it as it gets longer. I believe you both can. I'm so glad that Bevan booked it, because he's in, like we said, like that rich vein of form. You both are, and he's going to Europe pretty much after it for 3 months. So really wanted him to make the most of all the training and hard work you guys have been putting in. But then I just want to preface those goals with depends on the conditions, doesn't it? And all you can do, just like my Brisbane race, is race the conditions. So don't get too attached to that race goal, but I think you can do it. I've done it before up there. Plenty of people have done it, and it's actually quite a quick course. I think the half marathon won't get as affected by conditions, even if they are a bit hot or humid, as the marathon. So I think it's a flat course, fast course, and it's going to be really fun to follow. And we don't have much more hard training before. You sort of got the time that you need to just ease back and freshen up and make sure that you've got plenty of energy for the day. What are some of the sessions that you've done in recent weeks that you're quite happy with, or tell us about how some of the sessions have gone, or are you just not reading too much into sessions and you're just happy with your form in general, just because you've just got to feel like you've got a good rhythm and the right mix at the moment?
I've been trying to read less and less into sessions, and obviously they're important, but me getting to the start line and the headspace where I want to race, and the whole season I haven't really put times on anything. I know what I can run. It's a matter of just having the confidence and racing, really.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing. So I'm not going to be, I want to break 70 and I know what pace I have to do per K and per mile, because generally can break down both.
Yeah.
As people like to make fun of me of.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to focus on it too closely. I know if I'm racing the people around me and I'm trying to finish as high as possible in the field, then that's more of a goal than looking at my watch as like, all right, we're 5 seconds down, I've got to pick it up. It's more, if I can beat everyone that I can see in front of me, then maybe it's 70, maybe it's 68, something, like, who knows? It's all about racing.
Yep. Yeah, because your PB is 71.11, isn't it? Yeah. Plenty of opportunity there, and I like that answer actually. I think more people should focus on that. Like, if you're staying consistent, staying injury free, like, how long has it been now since you've been out?
It'd be probably 18 months or so.
Yeah. So look at that, like, starting to get to a year and a half with no injuries, with just filling in good weeks, like just consistent good weeks, but being mindful of like, you know, a few weeks ago, we were like, oh, you know, after the 10K, like, you were like really smart. You're like, oh, I feel like I'm going really well. I feel like maybe I should have some Mondays off. And that was like a mature decision that I don't think you would have done several years ago. You would have been like, nah, nose to the grindstone, let's keep going. Like, I think you're appreciating that, nah, I'm in good shape. Let's make sure I stay in good shape. Because if I stay in good shape and I just keep ticking boxes and train, do sessions in third and fourth gear, but I just keep showing up,
yeah.
Like that's what's going to change my physiology the most. Like, think about it, like 18 months, like how many weeks in 18 months? You've got like 75, say. 75 weeks of running five times a week. That's 75 times five in terms of runs. You're running a little bit more now than five times a week. Then you think about it, two sessions to three sessions a week. So 75 times, you know, two, that's 150 sessions, you know. That's where I think they're the numbers that start to matter more, rather than like, oh, I did 3x3K or I did 4x2K. Like, it starts to be more a case of that's what's going to shift your physiology more than the individual session.
Yeah. And yeah, coming off the 10K as well, I'll mention that I didn't think I was moving as well, and I was just like, I think I need more time before we really crunch down in these like half training, because I felt like I was in the spot where it's like I run so quick, and I felt like we just got straight into it. It's like, all right, we're 7 weeks out from Gold Coast, or 8 weeks out, so let's transition to that. And I'm like, I think I need another week or
yeah. No, 100%. Like, I think there are some runners, or plenty of runners. It's all about perspective, but and experience and time in the sport. But there's a lot of runners that would have panicked with the idea of 7 weeks, and they go, oh, I've got to get going. But you knew you're in good shape. So it's like, well, and I'm feeling like I'm not moving across the ground. Well, I'm feeling lethargic and tired because you've just done like Mornington 5K and raced really hard.
And gels as well.
And gels, it? Yeah, exactly.
It was a big 3 weeks.
Yeah, and then you've done the 10K as well. All kind of PB performances. like you look at your gels result, that was, you know, way quicker than the year before, like 40 seconds or so quicker. You look at Mornington 5K fun run, and you're running that, like a 15, what was it, 15:37 or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, on road, like in a fun run. Whereas like, you know, you would have a few years ago struggled to break 16, in a fun run, that's for sure. So like you've had a few really hard runs in a row, so no wonder you're feeling tired. So it's good to reflect on that and go, and not worry, but go, just understand where you're at, and then just go, well, this is where I'm at. You know, training might look slow this week, but then with a bit of patience on the front end, it pays off in the back end. And so you're being really, like, it's just smart, methodical training, acknowledging how you feel and how your body's feeling from day to day, and listening to it and not forcing it. It's a tricky one, isn't it? But it just comes with experience and knowing what signs to listen to. A lot of runners will listen to this and go, well, how do I know what to listen to?
Yeah, you just go to you'll know if you're off, because like you'll just feel more tired than usual. You'll like, I'm not pushing off the ground as well, or your sleep might be a bit altered or something. Like, there'll be small signs. It's like, all right, maybe I should take a easy week or two and just slowly just get back into it.
I reckon one's like even lack of motivation to get out the door. Like, yeah. I mean, not all the time, but if you're super motivated, like most of the time, and then suddenly you're lacking it after a few big weeks and races, then that, a bit of grumpiness, like to maybe your partner or friends, that kind of stuff, like where you just sort of, those kind of things. So those little, they don't come out as numbers on your watch. They come out sort of more as how you're feeling throughout the day, sort of those subjective, qualitative measures.
Because, yeah, that was a big thing. Like, some of the other guys were like, oh, like, you shouldn't be disappointed with like the session or something. Like, you're moving well. It's like there's more to just like the numbers of like, it's like it's how I felt across the ground.
Yeah.
It's like normally doing 72 second 400s should feel like not easy, but they're not hard.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm overworking trying to run 72.
Yes. Like, yeah.
I should be fighting across the ground running 70, and it feel hard aerobically, but like I'm moving better.
Yeah.
So that was part of it as well. It's like, it might look good on paper, but I struggled through it, and
yeah,
I was tired, and it was harder than it needed to be.
Yes. Yeah. And I think it looked like you moved better to the people at that session, and on paper the splits were going well, but that's compared to 18 months ago or more or a year ago or 6 months ago, and you're currently sort of in a form that you haven't reached yet, so you sort of knew in yourself. I think a little bit of that was down to a bit of like fatigue at work and as well, that compounded things around that time. But then I remember you sort of saying like a week or so later, like, yeah, I'm starting, I feel like I'm coming good. Like,
I remember I said to Bevan, I'm like, I'm finding them again. He's like, you never lost them. I'm like,
yeah.
But yeah, it looks like that. But
yeah,
like, I can't even remember the session. It might have been, I think it was the session I did on my own. It was 2x1K and then 3K tempo.
Yep.
I'm like, all right, I'm starting to find this like form again, like running form.
Yep. Yeah, I think there's something in that too. Like, even like it might have just always happened, even if you trained with the group that day, but maybe it was like nice to just be able to get into your own kind of rhythm and go about each rep by yourself and just sort of feel it out. Certainly. I think that's tapping into like, that's embodying running. Like, that's being present in how you actually feel and listening to your breathing, listening to your energy out there, listening to how you're moving across the ground. So, but not just like being a bit detached and just looking at what Strava says and going, oh no, I'm all good, even though like the splits, you know, the splits were the same as what they normally are, but like you found you worked harder to actually do it, like perceived effort, and it was a bit messier like way to get there. So that's where it's important to probably like be true to how you actually feel out there, and I think sometimes we're pretty good at going and pulling the, and being a bit in denial and pull the blinder, blind to it and go, oh no, I'm all good because my splits were fine. I think it's important to make sure that you're listening to your body out there and not just be dictated by Strava.
Yeah. And those are some of the best sessions I think I've done, is where it's just me on the track at night under lights, just going through each rep, and it's like what you said, I'm able to tap into this, like I've said it before, it's like when I'm on the track by myself, it's like I can block out everything that's not the sound of me breathing or hitting the track. I can just completely just go to another place.
Yep.
And I think that's part of it, learning to tap into something that's not splits or just like times in general.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And I think that happens with experience and time, and you get to sort of know, like, get to know, like, what it should feel like, and then I watched a good video on this by a runner in America, and she said she talked about the idea of the law of thirds, and like that it's the idea that like a third of your training should feel like you have those good days where everything feels magical and you just float across the ground and you feel like you could do anything. And then a third of your training should feel just okay. And then a third of your training probably is going to feel a bit rubbish. But it's important on those days where you do feel rubbish and just messy or like everything's so effortful and you wonder how you're going to actually achieve your goals. It's important on those days to listen to those days and just go a little bit slower or do a little bit less reps or alter your training a little bit so that... you recover or put in an extra recovery day or a cross training day around it so that you come back up again and you recover So just, yeah, listening to those bodies rather than just recklessly training through it.
Yeah, and I saw that, and that gave perspective into my training as well, because then I realised, it's like, all right, today is one of those thirds where I'm feeling pretty rubbish. So it's like, I'm not going to finish the session.
Yeah.
And it just means other weeks, it's like you do the same session. It's like, all right, this is a good day. I'm running fast and I'm finishing the session. And
it's just a whole
balancing act of, you don't have to, and it goes back to the whole, you, just because it's on the program, you don't have to 100% dot the I's and just like, you don't have to smash it out of the park.
And there's so many ways to modify the training on those hard days. It's like, well, it's like, oh no, I feel like, yeah, I feel like I can get through the training, but I'll just like be a bit more like, I'll have a bandwidth of splits that I need to do for the each rep, and I'll just be on the back end of each one because I feel like that's what the effort should be. There's some days where you just need to can the session because you just it's doing more harm than good. But you work that out over time. Someone in the squad who's starting to learn how to train a bit more like sustainably is Archie. So Archie, the other week, did the St. Anne's cross country in Bendigo and raced really well, had a great race. But during that week, he was feeling really tired. So he let me know, and then we altered his runs. So we took like a lot of volume out of the week. And then he didn't even finish the Thursday session. And he took that was his own decision. After four reps, he's like, nah, I'm done enough. And because he knew that the important run was on the Saturday. He had Friday off and then ran really well on Saturday. So Thursday and training doesn't matter. you're not going to get any fitter 2 days before it. So he made sure that his good day was on Saturday rather than his good day was on Thursday.
Yeah, and like me and Bevan and like the other senior guys like Jess, we're trying to teach him a lot of how to train, when to, like, try and teach him there's times to push in training and there's times just to ease off and just chill and not really focus too big on it. And he's definitely getting there.
He's slowly learning it. He's getting better at running slow by himself. He used to have one pace and it was just fast. that's pretty common, and you see that in a lot of new runners chomping at the bit.
And he's so young as well.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, like passion. We've said it before on other episodes, it's like passion is such a good thing, but it can be a bit of a downfall at times.
Yeah.
It's like just trying to hold these young, like Charlie's the same, he's so passionate about running.
Yeah.
And it's like we're trying to teach him that it's really good to be passionate, but we just got to channel it.
Yes.
I mean, I'm the same. I'm 26, but 16-year-old me was doing big weeks and doing crazy sessions, and like just because it's like, oh, this is fun. Once we channeled it, you get the results. And
I mean, the passion's the key. Like I was at Toorak cross country training this morning, helping out as a coach. And there's one girl there where you can see she loves the sport, but she's actually like still pretty good at it too. And I'm like, far out. If she can stay injury free and not get like too like obsessive about running and get all these injuries, this litany of injuries because she's doing too much. But if she's got like the right, like passion's the first thing. But then she's also got the nice mix of being pretty good too. And I'm pretty excited like about like, it's just fun when you see someone where you're like, oh, she's got the right mix of upstairs and love of the sport, but also like a bit of ability. And then Charlie's pretty similar too. Like, I've had good chats with him over the last 4-5 weeks, and it's sounding like it's clicking. He's like, okay, I'm young. I don't need to be doing 90Ks a week. Well, I certainly aren't managing it. This is about the third time he's broken down over the last little over a year with his body. Just because 3-4 years ago, he was a soccer player, not a runner. So he's just got to respect that he's not ready for 90Ks a week. And we've had good chats about that, and he's going to incorporate a bit more bike and swimming and maybe just have 60Ks a week as his running training load for the moment. And I think that'll make him more consistent, keep him on the park, and then ultimately that's where he's going to add layers of training, and that's where he's going to get stronger, that's where he's going to get more resilient, and he's going to be more likely to achieve his goals if we can just keep him on the park.
Yeah, exactly. And he'll learn from hopefully he'll learn from what I went through. And so, I mean, I'm not even doing 90k weeks anymore. I think I've touched the surface of maybe 85.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, you don't have to do crazy amount of k's to get it done.
Exactly. It's a balancing act, and I think that's really well said. Like, you're doing less k's than you ever have done for a long time, and you're running the best you've ever run. So that just speaks volumes, doesn't it? Mate, that's all I had on the plan and the notes for today's chat. Did you have anything else in your head?
I think we've pretty much covered all of the things.
Yeah.
4 weeks. What are we? 4 weeks out from Gold Coast.
4 weeks out from Gold Coast. So
three and a half.
Yeah, we'll catch up again after Gold Coast and maybe get Bevan on as well.
Yeah, we got to get Bevan on.
Yeah, it might be good to do a chat with you and Bevan, and
so he can tell his side of the stories.
Yeah, and I think, like, what's your head to head at the moment for this year?
It's not in my favour. That's for sure.
But if there ever was one run that might be I reckon it's pretty even at the moment, it'll be the half. So we'll watch with interest, and it'll be interesting to get you both on the show to see who gets the honours.
Yeah, look forward to it.
Yeah. Awesome, Pete.